Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, and I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word, and we do that out of respect for the Word of God, and thank the Lord for the Word, and it's perfect. It's what God has preserved for English-speaking people, and you can trust your eternity on the Word of God. Amen? In Galatians chapter 5, and we want to continue on now in verse 16. Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Our Father, help us to understand this portion of Scripture. I pray, Lord, that you lead with thy Spirit what needs to be driven home. And we pray, Father, that those here that have been saved would come to Christ today. Now, we pray, Father, your richest blessings upon this as we consider this subject about walking in the Spirit. We pray, Father, you deal with every heart and every life. And Father, realize the importance of the Holy Spirit dominating our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When you study the subject of salvation, we know that the primary force behind the salvation is God the Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The primary role in the cross was the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, Christ died for us. And then the primary person in delivering sanctification and working out in our lives is the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then verse 25, where the Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and there's one God manifested in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And there's one God. There's not three gods. It's not a three-headed God, but rather one God. And I want you to see that the Holy Spirit is vital in the subject of salvation. I want you to notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And notice the Bible says here in verse 13 of chapter 2, but we are bound to give thanks over to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through the sanctification of the Spirit and believe for the truth. So there you have the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1. I have a lot of verses for you this morning, so let's move quickly. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And the Bible tells us again, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. There's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. John 3:5, Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, except a man be born aboard of water, which is the natural birth, and the Spirit, which is a supernatural birth, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we've all had the physical birth, but to be saved, you've got to have a spiritual birth. And the Holy Spirit enters into the life of a person at the moment of salvation or belief or conversion. In Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Bible tells us that once you're saved, the Spirit of God comes into your life, and you're sealed until the day by the Holy Spirit. And then in Ephesians 4:30, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption. Now we can know that we're saved. The Bible says so in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, these things are written that you may know that you have eternal life. In 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. So the Spirit of God comes into our lives at the moment of salvation. I want to take you over to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. Notice what the Bible tells us here in this great chapter knowing that you're saved in the work of the Spirit. The Bible says in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So in our natural state, we cannot please God. But he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, He is none of His. That's a sobering verse. If you're not saved, you don't belong to God. If you're not saved, you're not God's family. If you're not saved, you're not heaven bound. If you're not saved, your sins are unforgiven. So how important it is to realize the importance of the Spirit of God in our lives. Now, let's go back to our text in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16. And the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of flesh." Now, you've got to go back with me a couple of verses just to refresh ourselves where we were last Sunday night when we preached on love. And notice verse 13 of chapter 5. So Paul says, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty." And remember, they were under the law because they allowed themselves to be deceived by the Judaizers. So they're trying to law keep. They're trying to keep the law and do the law and so on. But we find here where Paul says that we're set at liberty, but he said, "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." We know that law and love cannot be mixed. Law keepers are religious people. Loving people, biblical love, are people who are keeping the first, the greatest commandment, and the second greatest commandment: love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So we find here that we're to love and serve one another. For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Notice he said, "But if you bite and devour," remember these two words are words of a vicious attack, like animals in a fight to death, devouring one another. And this way people can become. And the Bible says, "But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another." Now Paul makes the change here, and he says in verse 16, "This I say then, because of what I just said, the importance of love, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, the command here is seen in verse 16. And understand this morning, beloved, that the only two lifestyles everyone can live would be a lifestyle in the flesh, one's natural state, one's unregenerate state, or in the spirit, which is the supernatural state, living according to the Scriptures, being controlled by God's Holy Spirit living within us. Now, these are the only two ways one can live, in the flesh or in the spirit. We can be controlled by the natural man and all his lusts and sins, or we can be controlled by the Spirit of God. Now, the first thing we see here is the command. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Now, let me just touch a little bit on the walking in the flesh by going over to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would, and verse 1. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." So we find here where the Bible is very plain that we are to, in our natural state, we are going to walk in the flesh or walk according to the course of this world. And this is the way it is when a people are lost. They see the world, their affinity is towards the world because they're of the world. Now, that doesn't mean that they have the most outrageous lifestyle or the most outrageous, clothing or they're living on the edge. The course of the world may be as simple as following religion. That's how simple it is. The course of this world, not living under control of the Spirit, but living under control of religion or control of the flesh, self-righteousness, all these different things that abide in the natural man. Now, the Bible goes on and tells us in 1 John 1:6 that we say that we have fellowship one with another and walk in darkness. We do not the truth. We lie and do not the truth. So, again, we can say that, well, I'm walking in the light, but we're walking in darkness. We're lying. We're not telling the truth. And then in chapter 2 and verse 4, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So again, you see here the importance of a person who is Spirit-filled, who's walking in the Spirit, is going to walk obedient to the Word of God. A person who says and doesn't follow the Word of God, they're not walking the truth. They're not honest. They're deceiving themselves. Now, a little bit further in 1 Corinthians 3:3, Paul is writing to saved people. And he says, "For ye are yet carnal, and whereas there is among you..." Now notice the carnality. It doesn't say immorality, drunkenness, drugs, and all that. He's saying that among you there's strife, divisions, and he says envy. "Are you not carnal and walk as men?" He says the way you're walking right now, with envying, strife, and division, you're walking like a lost man. That's the way the unsaved walk. See, God's people are not to be known as envious, causing strife or divisions. That is a work of the flesh. And matter of fact, while you're in that area, let's go back to Galatians 5, and let's notice here, verse 19. And the Bible says here, verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Now here's the works of the flesh. Drop down to verse 20, and notice you find here idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Very similar to what Paul said to the Corinthians. Matter of fact, that word variance, let me see here, if I'm correct, is division and dividing. That's just what Paul said to the church at Corinth. This is carnality. This is unacceptable in the Christian life. But let's go a little bit further here, verse 21 in chapter 5 of Galatians. And what does Paul say? He says the last part, he says, "I tell you before, as I told you in time past, that they which do such things, they who practice these things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God." These are not saved people. So when you find divisive people, when you find people causing strife, when you find people who are envious, and they live that way, you are observing a lost person. Because they that do such things, they that practice such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So we see the walk of the flesh. Now let's go back to our text and we see the walk of the Spirit. And the Bible says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit." Now what does that mean? Well, walking in the Spirit is not a walk of law keeping, but rather it's a walk of love. Love is the first fruit of the fruit of the Spirit. Love for God, love for His word, love for His work, love for His will. It is yielding to the yoke of Christ in the believer's life. Now, you know, you've probably seen this before in a museum, on TV, in Little House on the Prairie, and you find that there's Pa, and he's got these two oxen, and they've got this wooden yoke on their necks. And what is that doing? He has the straps, the reins, and he's controlling where he wants them to go. He wants to go a little bit faster. If he wants to pull them back to the left, to the right, just by adjusting that yoke. That was a heavy yoke. I mean, it was made out of wood. It was massive. But here the Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 or 11, I believe it's chapter 11, He said, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me control you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, that's salvation, beloved. What we do is we exchange our reins and our control for God's lordship in our lives. Amen. Let God control our lives. And so you find here where Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." And the Bible tells us here again that the walk in the Spirit is yielding to the yoke of Christ in the believer's life. It's the control of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 2:6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Now think about the term Christian. What does it mean, Christian? Christ-like, right? I think that's what you said. Christ-like. And so it's being like Jesus. Now think about everyone who uses the term, "I'm a Christian." You're talking about confusion. "I'm a Christian. I live any old way I want to." That's not Christ-like. Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus obeyed the Father. Jesus did always those things which pleased the Father. So when you think about Christian, it's being like Jesus. And the only time you find people in the world like tree huggers, do you think Jesus go around killing bugs and killing animals? I know he ate fish. And they weren't live. It was the sushi. Amen? Now, what do you think? He had a high, so I can't kill him. You'll have to kill him yourself. That's not Jesus. He told us the meat was here for us to eat. Amen? Not to waste, but to eat. So the idea of people have a Jesus is very wrong in our day and age. It's crooked. It's not exact of the, based on the Bible. Now, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, the Bible says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and His glory. Notice God tells us that we're to walk worthy. We're to walk even as He walked. This is the Spirit-controlled life, setting our aim on the Christ-like life of living as Jesus lived. Now, notice if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn over there a little bit with me. Ephesians 4, notice the first two verses. And we're looking at walking right now, walking in the Spirit. And the different verses the Bible speaks about walking in the Spirit. Notice chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Notice he says, walk worthy of the vocation. Now we have all different occupations here in our auditorium this morning. What we would call professionals, we call technicians, blue-collar workers, a white-collar worker. I mean, we have all sorts, all different types of trades and occupations. The Bible says here to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. See, we have a responsibility to our company, if we own it ourselves, or to the company we work for, to walk worthy. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever been called in, and I don't want to know right now, but the idea is that you may have been called in and say, look, you work for us, this is how we behave, this is how we drive. You ever see those stickers, tell me how I'm driving and call this 1-800 number? Why? Because you're representing that company. And I would venture to say that most people take it serious not to go against the company rules or regulations because they want their job and they want to please their superior, or they want people to think right about their workplace, their company. Well, the Bible says that we're to walk worthy of vocation wherewith you're called. And what are we called to be? We're called to be like Christ. We're to walk worthy. You ought to be more concerned about your Christianity than your representation on the job. And that's important. But so many Christians are flippant, or professing Christians are flippant concerning their Christianity. You know what the problem is? They're not walking in the Spirit, period. Because we ought to walk even as He walked. And notice the Bible goes on and says here that we're to walk worthy, we're to walk with all lowliness, in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with a long suffering, bearing one another in love. That lowliness, meekness is not only inwardly and outwardly. Notice where you start, inwardly. It's not just an outward show. I'm going to be humble. I'm going to try to act humble. It's inward. You start here, and it manifests itself outwardly. And then the Bible says we're walk in meekness, walk with long suffering. Notice he says we're to walk in love in the last part of verse 2, and forbearing one another in love. That's our walk, to be patient with people, to love people, to endure people. And then verse 3, notice that we're to walk in the Spirit. There is endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. So we're striving to walk in the Spirit so that we can be in unity one with another. Not walking in compromise, not going against the Word, not trying to appease people. Walk in the Spirit. And then the Bible says we're to walk in peace, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then we find, notice chapter 4, if you would. The Bible says here, chapter 4, verse 17, still speaking about our walk. This I say, therefore, testifying the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. We're not to be that way. We're not to be empty-headed. We're not to be purposeless. We're not to be gravitating to the world. We're not to be trying to look like the world and act like the world and be accepted by the world. I'll tell you, I fear for some of our young people growing up in our church. Not because they go to this church, But they're not being observed at home like they should be. They're not being watched. Their gravitation toward the world. Parents, you don't get a hold of them, you're going to lose them. It's not going to be my fault. I'm preaching it right. I'm preaching the truth. I preach against the world. I preach about living for the world. You're not enforcing this at home. It's not the school's fault. No, sir. No, ma'am. It's your fault. You're not applying the word. Matter of fact, it's probably because of you that maybe you're acting worldly. Maybe that's what it is. And they're just following your faith. But the idea here is the importance of walking right, walking in holiness. We're not to walk after the world. People say, I just want to be accepted. The acceptance ought to come at home. Should be the home that's accepting you. Your family. And if they don't get that at home, they're going to try to get it somewhere else. That's why it's so important to have a strong home. To interact. Spend time. I saw someone yesterday for a little while and we were talking. I was telling them, I said, one of the strengths in our family over the years that we sat and talked. Years we sat in the living room just talking. We sat on the porch just talking. See, that's one of the reasons our family was as strong or is strong as it is, because we were talkers. So I'm not a talker. Then become one. God gave you a mouth just like He gave Moses. Moses tried that lame excuse. I can't talk. Well, anyway, you get the point. Walk in holiness. Then we're to walk in love. Notice again, chapter 5 and verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children and walk in love. How? As Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So here God says we're to love, walk in love. How? As Christ loved us. Again, the walking in the Spirit. And then notice if you would, chapter 5 verse 8. And the Bible says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Walk in light. Walking in wisdom. Verse 15 to 17. See that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So God says, if you're not walking in wisdom, walking according to the word, you're a fool. Now people find a fact, I've gone to college for 10 years. So what? So you went to college for 10 years. Means nothing if you don't have wisdom. So you have some knowledge. You got a degree or two. Doesn't mean anything with God. It's not what you have hanging on the wall. It's what you have in your heart. And that should be Jesus Christ. So the whole world's filled with fools? Yeah. Didn't take me long to answer that one. Yeah, to believe in evolution, you got to be a fool. You think I came from a monkey? You came from a monkey? To believe there was an explosion, we all just evolved? That's foolishness. Doesn't make any sense. There's no proof. People like that just want to follow the lust of the flesh. Now, I believe there's some people who are just ignorant. They don't know any better. But I'm telling you, the people who advocate this, who promote it, who are atheists or agnostics or against the Word of God, they're fools. They don't have wisdom. They may have knowledge. They may be successful in the world, but they're fools according to the Word of God. Because the fool has said in his heart there was no God. There's so much proof of God, it's unreal. So we see walk in wisdom. Then we'll walk in praise, verse 18 to 20, where the Bible said, be not drunk with wine where it is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here the importance of walking in praise. And then chapter 5, verse 30, the Bible says, For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. Verse 21. Of the same chapter, submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. And then chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let me tell you something, beloved, about this. Just mentioned members one of another here in verse 30, chapter 5. We're members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. We're to submit ourselves one to another. Let me tell you, when a body's sick, when it opposes itself, when the body is not running right, when there's when there's things in the body that's causing it to be hindered. That's sickness. The body ought to be working perfectly. Should have everything in place. Should be working efficiently. Should be healthy. But see, when a church has issues within the body, we're not knit together. We're not treating each other right. There are issues. And those things are not sought out to be made right. You're part of the sickness then. You listening? You're part of the sickness. And so I don't disagree. I don't agree with some people. Well, it depends what you don't agree with them on. You're talking about, you know, their color hair or the car they drive or, you know, what kind of food that I believe. Those are non-essentials. I'm talking about unity in the truth. I'm talking about behavior towards each other. Well, preacher, they offended me, and I'm not going to talk to them. I'm going to stay my distance. I'm not going to get involved with them. That's not. You think that's what God wants? You think Jesus? That's exactly what I want you to do. Amen. You just stay away from them, and you don't partake, and you don't talk to them, and you mistreat them. So, is that what Jesus is counseling you to do? I don't think so. That is not what the Bible teaches. Now, you may justify yourself that way. That's not what the Bible teaches. I'll tell you, we'll never see revival. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. It grieves me until we get on the same page. Amen. Amen. Now, this again is a spiritual walk. A walk filled by God's Spirit. A walk led by God's Spirit. A walk controlled by God's Spirit. Back in our text again, Galatians 5 and 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And notice he says, we saw the command to walk. Now the cause of the walk. What would be the reason of walking in the Spirit? So you do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now you know this, that when you get saved, you get that, you are a partaker of the divine nature, you get a new nature in you. But you still have the old nature. That old nature is going to be with us, beloved, until we die or we get raptured. So there's a battle within. And the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, the goal of the Christian life is to walk in the Spirit and have God control our lives, walking pleasing the Lord, being in a position of doing right, living right, or acting right under the control of the Spirit, moment by moment, situation by situation, hour by hour, day by day, walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the desires of the flesh. That's the goal. So we see the command. Second of all, we see the conflict. Verse 17. The Bible says, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." And so we find here there's a conflict. Walk in the Spirit is not a simple accomplishment. It's something you and I need to be striving moment by moment, keeping ourselves in check. It is not, I don't want to say it's a lifestyle. For this reason, it's more than a lifestyle. It's the Spirit's leadership in our lives. In other words, it's just not a conservative lifestyle. Oh, I don't drink, I don't smoke, and I, you know, live a good life, I'm a nice person, so on. There are a lot of people like that who have never been saved, who have not the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is walking in the power, the influence of the Spirit of God in our lives. It's allowing Him to rule in our lives. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 7. We'll have to go quickly. I want to finish this if we can this morning. Romans chapter 7. And notice, if you would please, verse 18. Paul says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." So Paul was saying there's a difficulty at times in my life because of the war that goes on. And there's a goal, there's something I'm trying to aspire to, but there's a battle that takes place. And the Bible goes on and says here in verse 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Then he goes a little bit further in verse 21, "I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." That's our problem. It's that old man, that old nature. Evil is present with us. You understand that? All of us have evil within us. Even we're saved by God's grace. But he goes on and says, verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." I love the Bible. I want that. I want to meet up to that goal. I want to be like Christ. But I see another law in my member warring against the law of my mind. Warring. That is a powerful word. War is it can be horrific. It's violent. It's a struggle. It's a battle. Not giving up ground. Holding the line. Standing strong. Trying to hold off the enemy. Oh, there's some great stories. You've never seen The War put out by PBS about World War II. You ought to get it from the library and watch it. It's tremendous. You ought to have your kids watch it. Tremendous. Let them know what some of these men did. We don't see a lot of this today promoted by the world, especially within our media. You don't find it. I'm saying these guys were men of guts and valor. I mean, they had integrity. They were not going to lose. I mean, some of the feats that were done were amazing. But, beloved, I'm telling you that there is a greater war that takes place. It's not seen as you would see pictures of World War II, World War I, Vietnam, whatever it may be. But it's a spiritual war. And it's the flesh, it's the world, it's the devil fighting against us. Trying to have rulership in our lives. That's what it comes down to. Who's Lord? Is it Jesus? Are you going to be controlled by the Spirit? Or are you going to be controlled by the flesh? The Bible says, I see another law in my members warn against the law of my mind, bring me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. So we find here that there is a battle that takes place. The Bible speaks about that in Romans chapter 8. Notice verse 12, please. Romans 8, verse 12. And the Bible says, therefore, brethren, we are dead as not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And see, that's one of the signs of a Christian, is that they're mortifying the deeds of the flesh. They're conquering the flesh. They're victors. They're overcomers. And that's what we do. We mortify. We're trying to kill mortify the deeds of the flesh. Notice chapter 13, quickly, verse 13. The Bible says, let us walk honestly as in the day. There's another way to walk. Walking honestly and honesty, being honest with ourselves. So let me ask you something before we close here in just a few minutes. Are you filled with the Spirit right now? I didn't ask you if you had the Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Spirit. But my question is, does the Spirit have you? Are you dominated by the Spirit right now? Are you controlled by the Spirit? So let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunken, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. And he tells that dude, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice he says here, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So what are your weaknesses? As we go back to our text, what are your weaknesses? Oh, preach, this is one thing. I try to stay away from, and so on and so forth. Well, that's right. If you don't make any provision. Don't make any provision. So you have some crime in your area. What should you do? Well, when we leave the house, we make sure all the windows and doors are locked. The deadbolts on. Security systems on. Okay, that's good. What are you doing? You're helping to prevent a crime in your house. You're not making provision. You're not leaving back doors open, windows open, front doors open. You're putting up a guard. You may even have a sticker on the window. This house is protected by, 25 Doberman pinschers or something. Right? Nasty German Shepherd no shots. What are you doing? You're not making provision for a robbery. You're putting up your guard. What do you do when you go with your car? Well, I don't want my car stolen. So I lock it. I make sure the security system, and it's right by a lighting at night. I'm trying to prevent any damage to my car as far as being stolen and so on. Well, Lord, we've got to be the same way. If there are things on TV that provoke your flesh, then you need to shut it off. If there are certain things on radio that provoke your flesh, war against you, then shut it off. If there's certain things that that if you go certain areas, you say, oh boy, I struggle and so on, then you've got to shut it off. Well, preacher, that's not practical. Oh, it's not? Well, why don't we have you write another book? The book of you. We'll just add that to Revelation. Amen? And you tell us how to do it. Seeing that you don't agree with God, why don't you tell us how to do it? God says, you've got to protect yourself. You've got to cut certain things off. You cannot expose yourself. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and give no provision for the flesh. Now notice our third thing this morning. We'll close in Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. The Bible says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the law is powerless to conquer our flesh and our sin nature. How do we know that? Just look at the world. Look at the last six commandments. Honor thy father and mother. That's a law. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Number five. How many people dishonor their parents? People who go to this church dishonor their parents. Thou shalt not kill. He's killing all over the world. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Runs rampant. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not steal, rather. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Who keeps those laws? The law is powerless in helping us to conquer the flesh. The law was given that every man become guilty before God. Our sin nature seeks to deceive us, wants to rule our lives, wants to dominate us. We must decide to walk right, be right, and live right. The Bible says we're to walk worthy of our calling. Now, God has promised us the victory over the flesh. In Romans 8:37, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory. God gives us the victory. 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God which always causes us to triumph in Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, beloved, let me just say this to you. If you're walking in the Spirit, the greatest temptation can come to you and you're not moved. You're not moved. You're in the Spirit. You're going to turn away. You're going to walk away. You're going to deny yourself. You're going to resist Satan. He'll flee from you. See, all these verses dealing with walking in the Spirit, dealing with the Christian victory. Paul said, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What was he speaking about? He wasn't speaking about in this text. Although it's true, you walk in the Spirit, you're not fulfilled. He wasn't speaking about immorality. He was speaking about church division. And that's what it says. It said, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. Church unity. How do we solitarily walk in the Spirit? Love them that love you. Love your enemies. Love them that despitefully use you. Love them that have been mean to you. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. See, so many times we judge people through our own eyes. Well, I would never do that. All right, well, good. But people do. And that's why it's so important to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of it. Our victory lies in the Lord in Romans 8:37. The Bible says, through Him that loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah 4:6, not by might or by strength. Your human ability is not going to give you the victory, but by my Spirit saith the Lord of hosts. Look, Samson was the greatest of all men as far as strength goes. There was no one stronger than Samson. But he succumbed to Delilah. And here's Joseph. I don't know how strong he was. He was a young man. I don't know how strong he was. But see, he had the Spirit of God. The Lord was with him. Over and over and over again, the Lord was with him. So the commitment we need is for God's people to die daily, to live crucified, to offer up our bodies as a living sacrifice, to yield, to surrender to the Lord, to walk in the Spirit. Be filled with God's Word and God's Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. So I'm telling you, beloved, I'm going to close by saying this. Say, preacher, sometimes I wake up with such an attitude. And preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. My life proves, my family would testify that he's the same age, saved woman, saved young person. No doubt in my mind I'm saved, but sometimes I wake up with such a foul attitude. All right, so what did Paul say? I die every other day? Die once a week, once a month, once a year? I die what? Daily. You know, there's good self-talk, which we need. You may wake up crooked. You may wake up corrupt. You may wake up with a cantankerous spirit. You need to get a hold of yourself. You say, hey, bud, I'm going to kill you today. You're dying. I'm not going to live this way because, number one, it's a sin against God. Number two, I'm going to sin against my fellow man. I'm going to be a bad testimony. I'm opening my doors for an open house for Satan. The first thing you need to do, beloved, is look up. Say, God, you know how I am this morning. I don't want to be this way. I'm so sorry. I look forward to being delivered permanently one day. I get raptured when I die. Father, I need help. And name the sin that is infecting you. Lord, I've got a foul spirit. I'm just very negative right now, and I don't want to be that way. Please help me. Sweeten up my spirit. Help me be like Jesus. Lord, I'm so arrogant this morning. I'm so sorry. Nothing to be proud of. I'm ashamed of myself for being this way. Change me. Help me walk humbly. Lord, I've got just a mean spirit about me this morning. Lord, help me. Change me. Sweeten me up. Make me like Jesus. Fill me with the Spirit. Lord, I want to die to each one of those areas. That's exactly how you do it. Then walk by faith. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Lord, live in me today. Dominate me. The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. The faith. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Help me with this. Because I can't do it, Lord. I'm asking, I'm going to do my part, but God, I need something supernatural. Change me. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, thank you so much for loving me and putting up with me. I look forward to the deliverance one day where I'll be perfect. Never offend you again. Now, God, help me, please. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you need to be. Our church needs everyone filled with the Spirit of God. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to Him. You are separated from God. God's not like, I'm almost saved. No. You're in the light or in darkness. You're in God's kingdom or devil's kingdom. You're the right or you're not right. You're the godly or you're ungodly. You need to come to terms with that and repent and be saved and have the Spirit of God enter you and resurrect you to a new life. Would you stand to your feet, please? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and no one looking around.